Message 3, Faith Producing Praise and Overcoming the Church in Recovery. I have to say from the beginning, this will be, the subject is quite deep, but of utmost importance. And I'll do the best I can to make it clear for all of us to have the same view. So we just look to the Lord while I'm speaking to you. Inwardly, I'm praying, Lord, just lead me point by point to make this crystal clear for the dear saints. But before we come to the first section on faith producing praise, I need to share something with you that has been developing in my being serving the Lord in the last few years. In the book of Luke in the New Testament, in chapter 18, there's a parable. I won't go into the detail, but it's about a woman, and something has been taken away from her that's of utmost importance. And she went to the one in charge, and he paid no attention to her. But she continued to pray. And then at a certain point, because there was a trial on her faith, then when the Lord came and made everything clear, there was an outstanding statement. It's a question, and it's almost a declaration. When Christ comes, will he find that faith? If someone is living an overcoming life, they will have their faith developed in an outstanding way. Will there find that faith on the earth? So now we come to the first section, faith producing praise. So now we're seeing something probably we've never realized before. On the one hand, it seems we can just praise anytime we want. But actually, our praise need to have content. It's not just praising in a kind of shallow way. There's something in our being that is motivating us to praise. And now we have to realize that the degree of our praising depends upon our faith. And our faith and our love are parallel. And as we are growing in life, as we are in our church life, there needs to be a development, a growth in both faith and praise. And it won't be all of a sudden for all of us, but each one of us under the Lord's government will put us in a situation where we are crying out to the Lord, praying to the Lord, and he's silent, and he's hidden. And so we all need to realize a certain aspect of God. He hides himself. He's really God, but he hides himself. And we're going to be in situations of great need. But if as our faith has been developed, we would realize there's no feeling, there's nothing to see. But my faith has been developed. But the time will come that God is a hiding God. But these very ones that I mentioned in that parable, represented by this woman on the earth, to him, God was a hiding God. But because their faith has been growing, their experiencing has been developing, they realize God is hiding, but I know God is here. And actually, the more he is hiding, the more he is doing.
Amen.
So that is related to our faith, and our faith is being developed. Our praising will be developed.
Amen.
And it will have content that will be pleasing to God himself. So we just walked through it's on just one page, but there's much here for us to see. Faith producing praise. Psalm 106, verse 12, is a precious word. Then they believed his words. They sang his praise. Okay? They believed his words. His words. That's why I would hope, especially the younger brothers and sisters, but it includes saints of all ages, that you would read through the New Testament at least once every year. All the way through.
Amen.
It's really just one chapter a day, just to go through. And also, this is on the side, but I've mentioned this to many of the trainees in the full-time training, especially those that are ready to graduate, for your own growth in life. You need to be reading a particular book in the New Testament in your personal daily living, not in the morning, but just maybe for 5 or 7 minutes a day. You could even start, sometimes we can do it for 2.5 minutes at the red at the corner. It's red. It was green just before we got there. Now we know we've got 2.5 minutes to praise the Lord. And also, inwardly, to contact him. And so, they believed his words. Whatever God says, we believe. Whether we have feeling or not. And so our praising is based very much on faith.
Amen.
Now we have some description about it. Praise has a basic ingredient, faith. I hope this would just get into us. for your personal relationship with the Lord, that faith, the praise is based upon faith. Again and again, faith has the ingredient. So as we are praising, our faith is functioning. The more we praise, the more we have faith, the more our faith is developed, the more we will praise. So now there are two definitions of faith. Faith is the substantiating ability that issues from the infusion of the divine element into our spirit by the Spirit through the Word of God. Now let's look at this. Faith is the substantiating ability. So our faith will have this kind of ability, and that issues, it comes from the infusion of the divine element into our spirit. So infusion is side by side with dispensing. This divine element in our spirit, this is where the development of our faith starts. The divine element into our spirit. And this divine element is in our spirit by the Spirit, the divine Spirit, through the Word of God. Amen. So faith, Spirit, and Word are together day by day. And that's why in your daily living, again, I say for a few minutes, I'm pray reading through this book. Doesn't mean you're praying over every verse, but you read a few and then you realize this one touches you. And it has a personal effect on you. And so it will strengthen your faith, and it will become a dispensing matter. And then the divine element will be released. Then faith is believing the unseen, yet real things, according to the revelation in the Bible. Something that I could call false faith is believing that is visible. No, I believe it because it's happening. That isn't faith. Eventually, everyone on the earth is going to see Christ manifested. And that doesn't mean they now have faith. But faith is believing the unseen, yet real things. Faith, real things, according to the revelation in the Bible. Okay, point two. The Christian life, according to the New Testament, is altogether a matter of faith. Amen. I'm going to pause here before I read the rest. The Christian life, according to the New Testament, Amen. Is altogether a matter of faith. Amen. Christian life, faith. Amen. Faith, the Christian life. And I would hope, maybe before you fall asleep, or maybe when you wake up tomorrow morning, just have a simple prayer. Lord, strengthen my faith.
Amen.
Develop my faith.
Amen.
That in any situation that I will have to live through, my faith will prevail.
Amen.
I will not lose my faith. So here we have altogether the matter of faith. Live by faith. Live by faith. Day by day. We simply live. We don't see. It hasn't happened in an experiential way. We can honestly say, I have faith. Live by faith. Stand by faith. Well, this may sound strange, and it's quite normal to find it rather strange if you heard it for the first time. But in chapter 6 of Ephesians, that is where we have a clear view of spiritual warfare. That is a body matter, not an individual person. And this may sound strange, but we realize we fight against the enemy based upon the victory of Christ over the enemy. And we are standing here declaring to the evil powers, Christ has conquered you.
Amen.
And we are here as a testimony that the battle has been won and you have been defeated.
Amen.
So we're standing by faith.
Amen.
Sometimes that's all we can do in the particular situation we're in. We just stand by faith. Walk by faith. This doesn't mean you walk from your car into here, and that's that kind of walking. It refers to our daily living. Living by faith. Speaking by faith. Pray in faith. All this is related to the Christian life with the focus on faith. As our faith is developed, all of these points will also develop. Christ makes his home in our hearts through faith. And I believe most of us are familiar with this verse, but I want to take a minute or two to focus on it again. We need to pray to the Lord to give him the access to our being so that Christ can make his home in our hearts through faith. And I believe hundreds of you, eventually it will be all of you, will be able to honestly testify that Christ is making his home in my heart.
Amen.
I love him. I'm thankful to him. I appreciate him. And I know that he loves me. And I open my being to him to make his home in my heart. And I know you've heard it many times, but to me it's precious beyond words to just consider it again and again. Our hearts. Can we settle this, dear saints, between you and the Lord? Lord, I have faith in you.
Amen.
I've never seen you, but I believe in you with my whole being. And I love you from the depths of my being.
Amen.
I ask you to strengthen my spirit so that you can make your home in my heart.
Amen.
And when this becomes real to you, no matter what your situation you're in, whether it's like I told you the other time, went to an emergency room or something, then you find out something crucial. But there's no fear, because Christ is making his home in the heart. You just realize Christ is faithful, Christ is thorough, Christ is shepherding, he is all-inclusive. I have nothing to fear, because prior to that event, you've been allowing Christ to make his home in your heart, and you did it through faith. You don't feel it. You don't try to examine it. It's just the faith that's in you. You realize, Lord, I don't see you yet, but I know that you are not just in me. You are dwelling in me.
Amen.
And I've given you my heart for your dwelling place. But then we all realize, we do this through faith. It's not that we have a certain kind of feeling, and based upon our feeling, we ask the Lord to do it. Well, that's our beginning. But in order for this to really take place, it's going to be through faith. And so, inwardly, the Lord is praying that all of us, our faith will be strengthened. Our faith will be developed to the highest level it can be in this age. And we will be ready when the Lord Jesus comes.
Amen.
Yes, he is finding faith on the earth.
Amen.
Point C, in order to praise, we must believe.
Amen.
So if personally we realize a particular matter is presented to you, or it's in your Bible reading, and inwardly you may be reluctant to talk to anyone about it or have fellowship about it, but you just realize, I don't know if I can really believe that. So I can't praise that much. We'll make this a positive thing. We're all in a procedure. Lord, strengthen my faith.
Amen.
Make it stronger than ever before.
Amen.
Because in order to praise, we must believe.
Amen.
Only when we believe can we praise.
Amen.
So these go together. When we have a problem, we pray. And as we pray, a kind of faith rises up in our heart. At that moment, we open our mouth and praise.
Amen.
Notice, when we have a problem, all of us, this way, that way, a shallow one, a profound one, something we understand, some we have no idea what's going on, but When we have this problem, our first response, it should be, is we pray. Lord, I have a problem. I'm calling on you. I need your protection. I need your supply. I don't understand what's going on, but I have trust in you. And as we pray, a kind of faith rises up. It's been developing within you. It rises up in our heart. At that moment, we open our mouth and praise. So we can see how this takes place within us. A problem, we pray, faith rises up in our heart, we open our mouth and praise. This will happen again and again, hundreds of times, thousands of times. We've all been alive for thousands of days. So it's not saying too much to say this is continuously. We need to learn to praise by faith. So we need to learn to praise by faith. So in particular, certain situations, we really want to praise, and we've been practicing this, and it's been developing, praising again and again throughout the day in a real way. But now the Lord makes it known to us that you need to learn how to praise by faith. You need to learn. And so I will have the way to teach you. You'll do it personally, and we do it with fellowship with one another. We learn from one another. Amen. We should all have this kind of feeling that I have a personal relationship with the Lord, but I'm not an independent person. And the time will come when you are open to receive spiritual help from any brother and sister of any age. Someone could be 22 years old, but you have a portion of Christ that I don't have, and you're learning to develop, and you may say, Brother Ron, I'm going to go home, and I'm going to pray for you. I know what you're going through right now. And this is so delightful. Someone this age, or someone else who is 98, you're not too old. We need one another. In this way. And this is one way of learning to praise by faith. Amen. When we praise the Lord in faith, the enemy will be defeated. Amen. How about that? Let's defeat him right now. Amen. 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 We praise the Lord in faith. The enemy not will be defeated. Right now, the enemy is being defeated. Amen. Enemy, go jump in the lake. Amen. You know what lake I'm talking about. Yeah. Not you, him. So we praise in faith. And the enemy is defeated. Amen. We don't try to defeat the enemy directly. Don't try that. Amen. The counteract will be beyond anything you can endure. And then the last point here. First we believe and praise.
Amen.
And then we will experience victory.
Amen.
We believe, then we have praise, then we will experience victory. I believe next week, hundreds of you are going to experience Christ's victory.
Amen.
I'm saying this on behalf of the Lord.
Amen.
Because again and again, the days of just speaking doctrinal things are gone. What's in my being is to minister Christ for the saints to experience and enjoy the Lord.
Amen.
In every situation they're in.
Amen.
Day by day.
Amen.
At the end of every day you realize, thank you, Lord. There's more of you in me than when I got up this morning.
Amen.
We are really growing in life.
Amen.
So now we come to another section, overcoming the church in recovery. And we thank the Lord that we in the Lord's recovery, the local churches are the genuine recovered church. What's mentioned in these verses. But some dear saints, older saints, have made a mistake personally. They think that because they're in the church, then they are mature, they're growing life, they are overcoming. Because I'm here, and you look at certain verses and some flying thing had gone. Okay? Hope it doesn't go over there. Just let them run around there. Okay. We'll come back. That simply being in a recovered church doesn't make you an overcoming saint. That in one meeting I was in, one member, I'm not going to mention whether it's a brother or a sister, they stood up, and every Friday in someone's home we're a group of overcomers, as if we're a group, we're all overcomers now. But the person that's actually saying it, in all sincerity, they're really honest. They don't realize you're not yet mature in life. It's not like that. There is much more in our being in the recovered church that you're going to see is some of the most profound spiritual events will take place in the overcoming saints who are in the recovered church. And there will be a large percentage of brothers and sisters in the recovered church will not be ready to be part of the bride when the Lord comes for her. Maybe during the second 3.5 years, as I mentioned before, but we shouldn't think just because I'm in a recovered church that I'm fully a recovered person. Yes, we are. To me, in the best locality ever. But since that's the case, then why are there still overcomers in a recovered church? Just being in a recovered church doesn't mean you are going to be overcoming, because everyone does it and everyone has it. But in parallel to this, because more and more, I don't have any kind of leadership in the church. I'm not an elder or anything, and I'm thankful for that. I'm just a member. But what is almost a daily living is just shepherding saints with loving and tender care, with just this realization. And here is a dear saint. Sometimes I have to ask them, you want to have fellowship, and I'm fully open to it. But are you open to honest fellowship? Do you really know where you are? One time after the Lord's Table meeting, during the break before the speaking meeting, one sister in her 70s just came and asked me. She asked, but I realized I can't say anything, because she couldn't, not that she wouldn't agree, she wouldn't be able to receive, to know your actual situation. But when we really know, under the Lord shining in us, with his love for each one of us, just to let us know, don't imagine anything. This is where you are. Don't worry about it. Just be one with me, and I will lead you on step after step until you're mature and rapture ready. But you have to have some understanding of where you really are. But also, on the other side, the enemy comes and says, you'll never make it. You have so many mistakes. And so the Lord comes to strengthen us and say, just don't pay attention to him. He's a liar. You've been growing in life day by day for the last 5 years. Amen. Tell the enemy to shut up. Amen. If he doesn't shut up, just ignore him and praise the Lord. So he who overcomes, I will make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall by no means go out anymore. Then we're going to find out that there is no temple. We'll see. God is the temple. Amen. So I'm just giving you a peek. And we come to it, it'll become clear. In 2:17, the overcomer will become a transformed stone for God's building. And this is taking place through a spiritual stone. Amen. For God's dwelling, which is his dwelling place. In chapter 3, verse 12, verse A, the overcomer will be a pillar built into the temple of God. But eventually we will see that God himself is the temple. Amen. So we are being built into God himself. Amen. Because he is built into God's building, he shall by no means go out anymore. In other words, sometimes you're troubled or whatever it is, some feelings come up, and sorry, many saints have just walked away from the church life. The Lord had a way for them to care for them and to heal them, but something happened. But it's God's mercy that we're all still here.
Amen.
We've all had certain things take place in the church life. With a bunch of all these human beings, we don't try to purposely trouble one another. Sometimes our being is just not easy. But again, as Christ is developing in us, no matter what their condition is, our love for one another is the same. Because he is built into God's building, he shall by no means go out anymore. This promise, as a prize to an overcomer, will be fulfilled in the millennial kingdom. Okay, now we're getting one step closer to this crucial point. I saw no temple in it, for the Lord God and the Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. We'll go back to verse A, point A. I will make you a pillar in the temple of my God. But now we see that the temple is God himself. That means you're becoming the same as God in life, in nature, in other aspects, but not with the Godhead. So we need to put A and B together. And will A plus B equal C? Yeah. A plus B equals C. We'll see. And if you want to peek down to C, it's okay. No problem. If you want to peek a little bit. I saw no temple in it, for the Lord God and the Almighty and the Lamb are the throne. Sorry, our temple. This verse clearly says that in the New Jerusalem, there will be no temple. Now I have to pause here. There are more than 1,000 saints. This could be the first time they've ever heard these words, New Jerusalem. What is the New Jerusalem? So I just set this aside for a moment. Okay. The New Jerusalem. What is it? Well, you turn to Revelation chapter 21, verse 2, and the verse says that the New Jerusalem is coming down as a bride, as a woman. The New Jerusalem is not a city, it's not a place. It's a corporate person. This needs to be just in our very being to realize. That I'm becoming, in this particular way, I'm becoming the same as God in life and nature and so many other things. But he has the Godhead. And we know also around verses 9 and 10 of the same chapter, and an angel came to John. He said, I'm going to raise you up in a high place. I'm going to show you the New Jerusalem. I'm going to show you the wife, the bride of the Lord. And you'll realize that the New Jerusalem is a corporate person. The coming wife of the Lord Jesus. So we're not going to the New Jerusalem. I just don't understand, and I'm pretty sure it's only men. I just don't imagine that sisters would come up with this kind of goofy thinking. One says, the New Jerusalem exists billion miles away in the universe, when I know it's coming to the earth and we will all see it. I think this was a believer, but I'm pretty sure now he's in paradise. I don't know if he's getting trained there, or it'll have to be the next 1,000 years. But it's such a blessing. But in the Lord's recovery, we're learning the truth concerning what the New Jerusalem is. And we are becoming it corporately. We're not going to it. We are becoming, actually, we're becoming her. So now back to point B and the points under it. This verse clearly says that in the New Jerusalem, there will be no temple. Yes, there will be no temple, because point two says, the Lord God, the Almighty, and the Lamb are its temple. And we are going to be dwelling in this temple forever, in this corporate person. So I want to emphasize, the Lord God, the Almighty, and the Lamb are its temple. In the Old Testament, the tabernacle of God was the precurrence or the forerunner of the temple of God. It's just a kind of picture. The New Jerusalem, as the tabernacle of God, will be the temple of God. This indicates that in the new heaven and the new earth, the temple of God will be enlarged into a city. Again, it's not a physical place, and it's not a city, but the New Jerusalem is developing, it's growing. Five, that the three dimensions of the city are equal indicates that the city as a whole will be the Holy of Holies, the inner temple. Hence, there will be no temple in it. But this is now bringing us to a very profound point. And this is why I will take the next 25 minutes just on this part. It's some of the most profound verses in the New Testament. I will write upon him, that is the overcomer, I will write upon him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, the New Jerusalem, which descends out of heaven from my God, and my new name. And so now what we're considering, these are the overcoming saints in the recovered church. No one who is a member of one of the churches in the Lord's recovery should just don't allow this thought to affect you at all. That I'm here, I'm in the recovered church. I'm ready for to be raptured by the Lord. I'm beyond from Christianity. I'm so thankful that I'm here. Then why are there overcoming? Amen. Why are there overcoming saints in a recovered church? If everyone in the recovered church is going to be raptured. And this, if you read, you know, these verses, 6 or 7 verses about this in chapter 3 of Revelation 3, and there's description of certain things. They have faith and they keep the Lord's word and they're honest and this and that, and they think that's it. This is what the recovered church is. Well, it's there. And I just remember when I was starting to consider this verse that I just read. Just some of us at breakfast were just having some fellowship about this. And he was an older person with many decades of experience in the Lord's recovery. But his focus was on these things I just mentioned. No regard for this other verse. That's why we need to really almost dive into it. And so I'm going to see again. And as I'm reading it inwardly, let's just exercise our spirit, almost take it in. Amen. I will write upon him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, the New Jerusalem, which descends out of heaven from my God, and my new name. Now look how long point one is. And so I'll read it all the way through, that we'll examine it point by point. The fact that the name of God, the name of the New Jerusalem, and the Lord's new name are written upon the overcomer indicates that the overcomer is possessed by God, by the New Jerusalem, and by the Lord, that God himself, his city, the New Jerusalem, and the Lord himself all belong to him. Amen. And that he is one with God, with the New Jerusalem, and with the Lord. Amen. So this is going to be the experience of any overcoming saint.
Amen.
So this is for all of us. So now we have to study this. The fact that the name of God, the name of the New Jerusalem, and the Lord's new name are written upon the overcomer. Now, this doesn't mean that an angel could come and has a pen and just gonna write on my right arm and the left arm and my two flat feet. No. He is dispensing.
Amen.
What we're just talking about.
Amen.
You will be becoming.
Amen.
What is being written on you. Actually, that what's being written is a testimony of what you have become. You have become in this way. This indicates that the overcomer is possessed by God. Possessed by God. That is, we have the sense that after my experience and your shepherding and my growing in life, that now God Himself, I am possessed by God. I belong to Him. Every aspect. This may be something brand new. Possessed by God. Well, everyone on the earth is a possessed human being.
Amen.
Everyone. There's no one independent. So at this very night, just in locality where we are, everyone is possessed by God, or all the others are possessed by Satan, without knowing it, without realizing it, not believing when you're told about it. And it doesn't work just to say, we are either under the control of the enemy or we're under control of the triune God Himself. And so, overcoming and possession are very close together, because we have given ourselves to the Lord. When we consecrated to Him, it wasn't a shallow thing, that every part of our being, spirit, soul, and body, all our relationships, everything we own, everything that will take place throughout my time on the earth, I am possessed by God. God has the right to do anything with me, to me, for me. Overcoming saints are like this. They're not just independent, as if they don't belong to the enemy and they're not being directed by God. I'm an independent person. I love God. I have faith, but I'm still, me is still me. Well, we are either possessed by God or the enemy. And don't you have the sense right now that you are possessed by God?
Amen.
And You're willing for God to function as God with you. I mentioned again in John 20, when the Lord spoke of God and my Father. Of course, there's just this one person in the Godhead. But when God is functioning as the Father, our relationship with Him in an experiential way is very precious beyond words. The way the Father cares for His children. He has millions of them. And actually, tomorrow morning, when we're at the Lord's table, we will, the first part of the time is we are thanking and praising the Lord for what Christ has meant to us. Then after we've had the bread and the cup and Christ within us, we begin to worship the Father. That the Father is the source of every positive thing. But the Lord mentioned, I have to send to my Father and to my God. But when here, as we're talking about being possessed by God, then we may not know at all what He's going to do with us, what He's doing now. And we're not going to get information from Him. That's why in Romans chapter 8, verse 28, it's those that have faith in God. And so when God is functioning as God, and you realize I'm possessed by God, then deep within, I don't know what He'll do. I don't know what He's doing now. But I'm thankful and I appreciate this, that I'm not possessed by something demonic. I'm no longer possessed by the enemy. I'm possessed by God. And do whatever you want to do as God. I worship you as God. Amen. So an overcomer is possessed by God. The overcomer is by the New Jerusalem and by the Lord. All three are involved. But the New Jerusalem is not a place. God, the New Jerusalem, and the Lord are aspects of the triune God. That God Himself, His city, the New Jerusalem, and the Lord Himself all belong to Him. And that He is one with God, with the New Jerusalem, and with the Lord. So let's try to extract what's in these points 2, 3, and 4. I can honestly say these are lifelong learning. These statements, it's so profound. The name of God denotes God Himself. The name of the New Jerusalem denotes the city itself. And the name of the Lord denotes the Lord Himself. Now, what we're reading here, these three things, are aspects of the triune God that are being wrought into our being. So the name of God denotes God Himself. So the name is written on us, God. But it's a sign that God is saturating your being, and your whole being is mingled with Him. The name of the New Jerusalem denotes the city itself. But again, remember, the New Jerusalem is not a city, it's not a place. And so the New Jerusalem, again, is saturated in our being. That's why the name is put there, because that is what has taken place in you. And the name of the Lord denotes the Lord Himself. The name, the name, the name. Some Bible teachers would just say the name is there only on the outside as a testimony we belong to God. That's true, but it's shallow. The name is written as an indication. This is what you are now. This is what Christ in you is in you. You don't just you belong to Him. Actually, you're becoming Him in the way we just described. Point three, another delightful but challenging statement. That we have the time set aside for this. That the name of God, the name of the New Jerusalem, and the name of the Lord are written upon the overcomer indicates that what God is, the nature of the New Jerusalem, and the person of the Lord have all been wrought into the overcomer. Wrought means something, it's just worked into your being. So I'll go over this again, point by point, that the name of God, the name of the New Jerusalem, and the name of the Lord are written upon the overcomer. Yes, it's written upon us because we have become that. That's a description of what has taken place in us, in our being. So it's written upon the overcomer. And we should not try to stand in front of a mirror and try to see what's on us. That's to be self-centered. We should just have the sense, Lord, I'm growing in life. I'm experiencing You more. I'm enjoying You more. I'm opening my being to You much more than ever before. Lord, You know that my heart is fully open to You. And I just thank You and praise You that something is taking place within my being. And the Lord has a tender way to, in, to encourage us. He said, I want you to realize, but keep your focus on the triune God. There's much more of Christ in you. The triune God is saturating your being day by day. Just be an open vessel. This simple word, a vessel. Lord, I'm here for your dispensing today. And Lord, I'm not holding anything back from you. And my request is that while I'm still journeying before the end of my time, may you have reached the depths of my being and saturated me with your all-inclusiveness. We are really blessed saints just to know about this and to realize what is taking place now. But millions and millions of dear saints, they can honestly say, as I mentioned before, they never heard this. They had a different understanding. They thought they're just going to heaven. But I came very close to have a kind of, not an argument, but kind of back and forth. This well-known preacher, he and I are about exactly the same age. And your view was, this is just something outward. What are you talking about? His feeling is, every saint is an overcomer. Because in verse John, chapter 5, it says, all the believers are overcoming. But that's a different kind of overcoming. As a believer, you have faith in God, and so you overcome in this particular situation where the enemy is trying to trouble you. That is overcoming that all the believers have. But he's actually telling thousands of people, that's what's in Revelation 22 and 23. And that's a tremendous mistake, and he's responsible for it. And I'm sorry to say that there would be thousands and thousands of Christians in the United States with the same spiritual understanding that we had, if the Lord had revealed it to a man in the United States, but they would not accept something from a Chinese person. This was their view, their human view. It's just terrible. Where's your humility? But to me, it was the most kindness of aspects of God, my whole being. At the beginning of this last century, when the Lord wanted to bring his economy fully completed, he realized he could not do it in the United States. He could not do it in Europe. He went to China. And we mentioned already this elder sister from UK was there, fell into the ground and died. And through her, Brother Nee was trained And then Brother Lee was saved. They came together and he was trained. Then why shouldn't we just thank the Lord for what you did in China? And why should we not receive the ministry from another race, another part of the earth? Amen. It's just such a shame that they would not receive. But I remember the first time I saw Brother Lee in a meeting. It was in 1967, on the Lord's Day morning. The table was in the evening. They were having a fellowship time in the morning. And Brother Lee was just standing there and just talking to us. And while he was talking, I realized I've never heard anyone could speak with no self. No self. Nothing like this. He's just speaking in an ordinary way. And Christ is just flowing out. And while that was going on, I made this decision. It's not to try to be the same. That's not real. But I know he was on a long journey to grow in life to this way. And I say, Lord, for the rest of my life, just lead me in the same way, item after item after item. And so whatever it is, God the Father is the source, and we realize his wisdom and his loveness. And so anything that would happen physically in any other way, we realize this is from God's tender care. So this indicates that what God is, the nature of the New Jerusalem, and the person of the Lord have all been wrought into the overcomers. Again, just be an open vessel, but it would be very helpful if during the day, but especially in the beginning, to say, Lord, I thank you for another day of dispensing. Just because he has to go deeper and deeper and deeper. He can't do it all of a sudden. He would physically die. But if you're open to him, then I can assure you on his behalf, he will reach the depths of your being, even that you don't know your own being. But he will go to the depths and remove any negative thing and saturate every part of our being, our spirit and our soul. Our soul will be saturated. He's making his home in our heart. And now the next thing is we want to have a new body. And when he comes, we're all going to have a new body. I don't think there will be male and female again. We'll all be the same. And so no men will consider themselves better than females. We'll realize from the beginning, we're all on the same level. And then the last point, the mentioning of the New Jerusalem as a prize to the overcomer indicates that this promise will be fulfilled in the millennial kingdom. The New Jerusalem in the millennium kingdom will be a prize only to the overcomers. I conclude by reading this again. The mentioning of the New Jerusalem as a prize. Don't you want to get this prize?
Amen.
A prize to overcomers indicates this promise will be fulfilled in the millennial kingdom. For the next 1,000 years, this prize will be fulfilled. Don't you want to be there? The New Jerusalem in the millennium kingdom will be a prize only to the overcomers. So surely within us, there's a hope and there's a prayer. Lord, do what only you can do, that I will be, receive this prize in the millennial kingdom as one of the overcomers. It's very delightful to be with you, but I hope we all see one another in the coming kingdom. So once again, please pray with someone nearby. A brother will give a conceding word, and then please come to the microphone and speak something based upon the message.